It's now 20 minutes after 7 on a Monday morning. This is On the Island. Well, fishing isn't what it used to be in the waters around Vancouver Island, especially when it comes to Chinook salmon. The Department of Fisheries and Oceans is so worried about the slumping Fraser Chinook, new restrictions could soon be in place. The issue came to a head last week when South Island sport fishermen voted to ignore any further regulations from the DFO. Now, conservationists are speaking out about why restrictions are needed and what could happen without them. I'm joined in studio by Aaron Hill, an ecologist with the Watershed Watch Salmon Society. Aaron Hill, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So what are we seeing with the Fraser Chinook salmon, first of all? Can you lay the ground or the water for us?
Well, yeah, the Fraser Chinook are a very diverse group of fish. The Fraser River is British Columbia's largest salmon-producing watershed. It drains a quarter of the province. And the Fraser River is thought to be the North America's largest producer of Chinook salmon. Unfortunately, the majority of the Chinook populations in the Fraser River are now either severely or moderately depleted, and conservation measures are necessary to get as many fish as possible back onto the spawning grounds to keep these populations from declining further and eventually recover them.
Do we know what's led to the decline? Is it possible to identify a specific reason for it?
The indications are that it's ocean survival. It's conditions in the ocean environment that are affecting these fish, and it's not affecting all of them. There's a few Fraser populations of Chinook that are actually doing fairly well, but the majority of them are not.
So why is a restriction on the harvest necessary? Maybe an obvious question, but maybe you can walk through that with us.
Sure, yeah. No, it's a good question. The basic fact is that you need to get as many fish back onto the spawning grounds to just ensure that the population doesn't decline further, and that you can actually start increasing the numbers despite the low productivity in the marine environment.
Now, the sport fishermen are questioning DFO's numbers on slumping stocks and calling for an independent review of the situation. What's your take on the numbers? Are they accurate, first of all?
Well, the sports fishermen are raising some very valid concerns with the data that DFO uses to forecast the returns of fish. But what we do have good data for are the numbers of fish that have been making it back to the spawning grounds. And those numbers are way, way down. The overall return of Chinook to the Fraser River is thought to be less than one-third of what it was historically. And we know that for a fact. And so the bottom line is that we need to just catch less fish until those numbers get back up.
Okay, so they might have a point that some of the numbers getting there are a little questionable, but the bottom line is what it comes down to for you.
Exactly.
Now, this issue is complicated by the fact that some Chinook stocks are actually doing quite well, as you mentioned, and we're seeing lots of salmon in the waters around Vancouver Island. How is the mixed fishery in Juan de Fuca Strait complicating this issue?
Well, yeah, that's really the heart of what's driving this controversy is that we do have a few populations that are doing well, but they return to the Fraser River through the Strait of Juan de Fuca at the same time as these populations that aren't doing well, and so it's impossible for fishermen to differentiate them in the water, and so. Unfortunately, that means that you just have to cut the fishery back when you have these mixed stock fisheries so that you can protect the weak stocks. And there are, when you do that, there are still opportunities to catch the stronger stocks closer to their spawning grounds where they can be differentiated from the populations that aren't doing well.
Okay, but based on a human geography point of view, that might leave some people frustrated in the meantime, depending on where they are.
It's an unfortunate situation in these marine approach areas for sure.
What's your take on what would happen if the harvest restrictions are not implemented? What would happen to the fishery?
The long-term prospects for the fishery would actually be quite grim. And I think if, this refusal to abide by these restrictions is actually going to mean long-term pain for the fishery. And so I think it's a very short-sighted approach for these narrow economic interests to say that they're not going to take these conservation measures, which are desperately needed. I think, it's largely the charter boat operators and other people who have these economic interests that are speaking out the loudest about this. And I think there's a number of conservation-minded anglers, myself included, who are more than happy to forgo fishing for a few years to get these stocks recovered.
Where do First Nations fit in all of this? I mean, we've heard they're in support of reductions for sport fishermen, but we're also hearing they might face additional restrictions themselves.
Yeah, well, everybody who fishes on these fish has been cut back over the last few years, and So the way it works is DFO has a very strong and clear mandate through the wild salmon policy and various court decisions to make conservation the number one priority in any resource management decision making. And after conservation needs are met, they have an allocation policy and a constitutional requirement to provide fish to First Nations for food, social, and ceremonial purposes. After those needs are met, the sports fishery gets priority access to Chinook salmon. The First Nations have said that they're willing to take further cuts, and it's only the recreational fishery, especially here in the South Island, that has taken the stance of not accepting any further restrictions.
Would a hatchery as a solution to this problem help build the stocks back up? Is that a possibility?
The short answer is no. The hatcheries present a number of risks, scientifically proven risks to wild salmon populations. They are necessary and helpful when you have stocks that are at the brink of extinction and need recovery, but we're not there yet for these stocks and we don't want to get there. And hatcheries should only be considered an option when all other conservation measures have failed, including fishery restrictions and fishery closures. So I think it's a short-sighted and a band-aid solution to be demanding hatcheries before taking further fishing cuts.
We're very short for time, Aaron, but I want to ask you finally about proposed changes that we're reading about to the Fisheries Act by the Conservative government in Ottawa. Where do you see those fitting into all of this?
Well, yeah, that's really important. I mean, obviously these fish need clean habitat or healthy habitat to return to spawn and rear in. And these proposed cuts, the gutting of the Fisheries Act, the habitat provisions in the Fisheries Act and the Canadian Environmental Assessment Act would remove some of the few safeguards we have in BC for Pacific salmon. It would be an absolute disaster. So we need to cut fisheries, but we also need to ensure the habitat's there.
Aaron Hill, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks a lot.
Aaron Hill is an ecologist with the Watershed Watch Salmon Society. It's 27 minutes after.